Hello and welcome to the Market Podcast powered by Money Control. Well, my name is Shataj Ananda and today I have with me a very special guest, Sunil Rohkole, who is MD and CEO at ASK Group. Welcome to the podcast, Mr. Rohkole.
Thank you, Shataj.
All right. Well, the first question is a very interesting one. And, you know, we wanted to put it across to you that Sensex hit 50,000, you know, in the week gone by. And so how do you sum up the journey in equity markets and any memories or instances you would like to share?
Wow, what a historic day yesterday. It was a unique day and it only reflected the potential of India and the excitement of the global and the domestic investors as far as Indian economy is concerned. Mm-hmm. I go back to the history of 2008 in a global crisis period. I remember October 2008, we had a green day and we touched 7,700 about indexes. And then I think we all were worried. There, that point of time, as a memory, in ASK Group, we were close to 3,000 crore assets under management. And as we surmounted the 50,000 crore AUA, 50,000 indices, we at ASK have surpassed 30,000 crore assets under management. So index has gone 6.5 times. Mm-hmm. Our AUM has gone 10 times. No complaint. And I think this is just a beginning for the Indian euphoria as far as capital market is concerned.
Right. And, you know, the next big thing which will hit the street is definitely, you know, the budget 2021. And one which will be tracked by experts is the fiscal deficit number. Well, the consensus is around about 7% deficit for FY21. What are your estimates? And if it exceeds this consensus estimate, will it dent the sentiment?
Frankly, the fiscal deficit targets are very critical for any country's financial health. India being prudent so far, this year being pandemic year, a lot of countries across the globe have spent far higher percentage to the GDP than India, though India was calibrated. We also feel that the general consensus is around 7, so 7.5% of the fiscal deficit, and the state would bring in another 5. So around 12% deficit is not something which is going to move a needle as far as sentiments are concerned. We feel that Indian government would ensure that they would not cross this number. That's what currently I feel.
Right. Well, that's good news. And what are your big expectations from Budget 2021 from a financial sector point of view?
See, in the financial sector, actual reforms have really helped to ensure that the Indian economy is reviving post the great pandemic. We were one of the highest stringent lockdowns of the first 3-4 months. Subsequent to that, we opened up. So I think the most important financial reform what we need in this country is that we need a capital to kick off certain segments of the economy, which is like SMEs and MSMEs. We need the credit to flow in to ensure that these guys have survival and they grow, and that helps the job creation, that helps the economy to grow. So first part of the financial reform, what we would like to see is having the clear hindsight picture of the benefits of the announcements during pandemic. This time, the credit flow to the impacted sector is very important. The cost of the credit to the impacted sector is very important. And at the same time, if there is a one-time restructuring of certain sectors which have still are lagging far behind and which are important from India point of view, I think that is one of the first thing what we need from financial sector, which is the large gamut. Second part, I think, is it's not really the budget can do anything about it, but I think the the GST rationalization, which probably would help as one tax regime, if the GST we can move on, I think that would also help the financial sector to have a long-term stability point of view. So financial sector is actually looking at a very focused budget proposal, focusing on actually survival and growth together.
All right. And, you know, another sector is the infrastructure as well as the real estate, which are major sectors that could play a big role, you know, if India has to boost growth from now on. Any big expectations from that sector?
See, infra and real estate is really important sector from country's point of view because they are the largest contributors of job creation in the unskilled and the semi-skilled and even skilled part of the working population. And if you look at the real estate, which contributes almost 7% of the GDP, and so as the construction and the infrastructure as well, the kind of investment we have put in into infra are improving. In the last 5 years, and currently they are around 7 to 8% of the GDP, which is spent amount to close to $200 billion. But surely we need far larger. So a large allocation to the infra from the government, and I am aware that government is struggling with the surplus money required to be put into infra, and they would have to find out streams to get that money. But 10%. Upward of $200 billion dose to the infrastructure sector, and basically listing all those assets government has got, like road, some of these power related projects, if they can able to liquidate through REITs, InvITs, I think that would be a good way of generating capital. As far as real estate is concerned, I think it is so fundamental because, and we have seen that happening in some of the states like Maharashtra, did some small tinkering into stamp duty and the premiums required for the projects. And you see the kind of exuberance in terms of buyers and in terms of the industry as a whole. So the home buyers have preponed the buying. So the first thing budget should give for real estate is the housing interest limits, which currently are quite meager. And the first time home buyer should at least get 5 lakh rupees tax set off if he's paying the home loan interest. Second part is that, you know, multiple homes as a part of investment class, when people are owning and they are earning the interest out of it. If there is a set off of interest when they take the loan for these houses, it was stopped sometime back in the quest of DTC, and DTC is not in a visibility at this point of time. So I think given this opportunity to own the completed real estate residential properties to be rented, and the credit taken on those properties should have a set off, which actually helps the cause of the revival of the sector. I think the most important thing is that we have given the both infra and the real estate side, we've given the benefit to sovereign funds to come into India, and there's a tax exemption for them, correct? That's a great incentive for any sovereign funds to invest into Indian market. I think the AIF, which generates a lot of domestic money for infrastructure, for the real estate sector in specific, I think this budget should give a 5-year a tax holiday in terms of capital gains earned by these funds, so that the risk associated with these projects is high. These are the ones who, these are the investors who would be the first one to invest, followed by banks, and then and so on and so forth. So I think it is not unjust if one expects the AIF to get the exemption of capital gains tax for the next 5 years. So that's what I think is important critically for the construction and the infra part.
Right. Well, moving from sectors to, you know, the equity investors or retail investors point of view, what do retail investors want from finance ministers?
Yeah, I think that's very, very important, because the retail investors, as I mentioned, first is something to do with home interest rate, which we have covered. The second part is that most of these retail investors also have started participating into equity capital market. And if you see that the kind of demat accounts got opened up, kind of SIPs are retained and continue to grow. Even last month, it has grown. So the fact remains is that a stable regime of the long term and the short term capital gain is very important, and the tax like STT is very important, because tinkering these kind of taxes will create confusion, and these would again deter the investors. So I think the first and foremost is that we should have a status quo on the long term and short term capital gains. They are good enough. We should stabilize it going forward. Number one. Number two, we don't expect the finance minister to really tinker and come back with some COVID says something of that kind. And third part is that we've been hearing for quite some time that the government is thinking of estate tax. I think this is not a time to do this estate tax, because this is anyway rear-ended. It's a long-term plan. Can wait for some more years. I think that's where I think equity investors want stability in the tax regime. They don't want any uncertainty or additional worry on their income presently or in the future.
Right. Well said, Mr. Oakley, that equity investors require some sort of stability. And, you know, just to finish it off, what are your guru mantras for investors to invest and generate wealth amid the ongoing pandemic?
See, India is a growth economy. Last year, there was an exception year. It was a pandemic year. India is soon going to be again bouncing back like a springboard in FY22 onwards. And that is going to be a decadal positive growth. So the suggestion is that though asset allocations are very important, the guru mantra is that if investors allocate more money to growth assets, which means public markets, which means real estate through residential property holding or the financial investment, or third is alternate assets. I think investing at right time before the growth actually start kicking off would yield the compounding impact, and that would enhance the significant wealth of the investors. So that's what I think at this point of time.
Well, on that note, thank you, Mr. Oakley, and listeners for tuning into this edition of Special Podcast. But do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com for more on news, business and economy. Again, thank you so much for your time.